Look, my bitch is all black, my niggas all real. I ride in his dick in some big tall heels, big fat checks, big large bills. Run out flip like 10 car wheels. Cold ass bitch, I give raw shoes. 10 different looks and my looks so kill. I kiss him in the mouth, I feel all grills. Heat in the car, that's real on wheels. I ride in his dick.
When it leave, a nigga top dollar in these streets. Shake it like a money tree. A nigga top dollar in these streets.
This that young Brownsville mic. This what working hard sound like. In that hood all damn night. Just hit 12 o'clock on that bike. This that go way past gold. Feel that beat through that flow. This that direct disrespect if you ever cross that road. This that album number 2, project number 10. And I'm not even through. Just got my second win. When you see me bopping through. Keep it very zen. Would hate to put you in the child's pose. Heat it up like big grams. All my cars got big rims. Pinky ring, big gym. Running in my own race. That sound like a win-win. Out here ballin' Big Ten. They use me as a template. Cause they know that girl got all that sauce. It's been gon' lick him.
4, 5, 6 when it leaves. A nigga top dollar in these streets. Shake it like a money tree. A nigga top dollar in the streets.
This that young Brownsville mic. This what working hard sound like. In that hood all damn night. Just hit 12 o'clock on that bike. This that go way past gold. Feel that beat through that flow. This that direct disrespect if you ever cross that road. This that barely in the view. In that hardly ever seen. If you wanna get a view, you gon' need to buy a seat. I'll hang in ringside. I peek in from time to time. Don't engage in small talk. Cause you ain't bout to waste my. Disactivate my FaceTime. Focus on my
ask for guest list, you'd be like, how many? And they're like, plus 10.
Smile, anything never you work hard for. Don't talk like your mouth full up of water. When them say them like your skin brata. You not beg a girl nothing, you not shatter. But your life you is not a father. Don't want a girl like a Vince Carter. When your man tell you him a fit charter. I saw you get your son, I saw you get your daughter.
Jumping on me car, jumping on me whip. 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 Jumping on my car, jumping on my whip, 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 jumping on my car, jumping on my whip.
Antes de caerse al suelo, ya sabía que se rompía. el descansillo. Una voz en la escalera. Alguien cruzando el pasillo. Malamente. Sí, sí. Malamente. Ponte que la acera.
Mira, 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 mira.
Cuanto más quiero cruzarlo.
Va.
Más se mueve y tambalea.
For this world, I won't hush you. Tryna be your future, that's how I crush you. Don't break boo just cause they broke you. We know I'm strangers, I'm glad I know you. Don't forget innocence, just tryna show you. Sorry, your language, but I'll fire you. Tell me where are you?
Your busy body busy tonight. Joanna, making all the dummy tonight. Joanna, your busy body busy tonight. Joanna, making all the dummy tonight. Joanna, your busy body busy tonight. Joanna. Taking all the dummy tonight. Joanna, your busy body giving me life. Oh, hey, life, hey, hey.
Why you do me like
Joanna? Joanna.
Why you do me like
Joanna? Joanna.
How you gonna do me like
Joanna? Joanna.
Hey, Joanna.
Hey, Joanna. Joanna.
Ay, ay, ay.
Hey, 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 hey. How you gonna play me like Jogbabo? Jogbabo. How you gonna do me like Jogbabo? Jogbabo. Oh, DJ Jogbabo. Jogbabo. Hey, DJ Jogbabo. Jogbabo. Joanna, your busy body busy tonight. Joanna, taking on the dummy tonight.
Yeah, 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 yeah. La, oh, I. Take it, I'ma take it. Yeah, make the money, make the money maker. Make the money, you a money maker. Yeah, 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 you a money maker. Catch a vibe right around, you a money maker. Yeah, 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 flip it and replace you. Try to bring you in, but you walk on fumes. Fuck you for I lose, I'ma keep my cool, yeah. I'ma pay my dues. Try to bring me down, what's star. I pray for you, even showed you round town when I need to. Hop tip off the stage when I mean to. Give you all the social I intend to.
616, yeah.
Making money moves, yeah, make it,
yeah, make it, yeah.
Leaving you behind for all the hate,
for all the hate.
Taking my time, yeah, take it, I'ma take it. Yeah, make the money, make the money, make it,
yeah.
Make the money, you a money maker. Yeah, 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 you a money maker. Catch a fire right around, you a money maker. Yeah, 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 flip it and replace you. Take my mind away, I'ma like what you'll say. Take a zany, I might just blow me away. Smoking on that foreign loud back in Bruxelles.
Allô mon amour, je suis dans votre cour. Donnez-moi le code du bâtiment, mon amour. Je te ferai la cour, oui, tous les jours. Je te ferai l'amour, mon amour, mon amour.
C'est compliqué. J'aimerais m'inviter, mais je n'ai pas pris de clé. Je t'ai fait de la peine, donc t'as pas insisté. Ça fait des mois, entre les mois. Ouais, je le connais, c'est le code, et t'es compliqué. J'avais fait la promesse de ne pas l'oublier. À 36B, c'est pas ça. On le sait, on ne sait plus. Un pied dans l'or, l'autre pied dans l'or. J'essaie de me rappeler de mettre les chiffres dans l'or. Un pied dans l'or, l'autre pied dans l'or. J'essaie de m'en rappeler de mettre les chiffres dans l'or.
Allô mon amour, je suis dans votre cour. Donne-moi le code du bâtiment, mon amour. Je te ferai la cour, oui, tous les jours. Je te ferai l'amour, mon amour, mon amour.
Y'a ceux qui sont lèches, ceux qui sont lourds. Peut-on se toucher jusqu'à en devenir sourd? Et ceux qui sont contre, ceux qui sont pour. Et ceux qui s'en sortent, c'est ceux qui sont sourds. Tu veux mon code, tu veux ma clé. Tu veux mon password, tu veux mon thé. Hey, cœur de pierre, j'ai perdu Louis. Cœur de pierre, j'ai perdu Louis.
Allô mon amour, je suis dans votre cour. Donne-moi le code du bâtiment, mon amour. Je te ferai la cour, oui, tous les jours. Je te ferai l'amour, mon amour, mon amour. Allô mon amour, je suis dans votre cour. Donne-moi le code du bâtiment, mon amour. Je te ferai la cour, oui, tous les jours. Je te ferai l'amour, mon amour, mon amour.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. The number you have reached has been disconnected or is no longer in service. Please check the number and try your call again, or contact the operator for further assistance.
It makes no sense to me. Alex, go ahead. It's unacceptable that the...
Right ways, especially on the...
Noise. Of the phone. I know it,
some form of negligence. Down.
Pre-check.
Barriers. So they can be forgiven for thinking the wrong thing because they were told the wrong thing. But now there is a real concern that they are going to be prosecuted by the federal government. And the governor of New Jersey said she's afraid those people might now be at risk of not only federal prosecution, but all kinds of unexpected hurdles through no fault of their own as they work towards becoming citizens. She said we're working very hard to protect them. But think about it. How do you protect them? You know, the voter polls, the voter registration list, that's public. They can find out who those people were. They can target those people. And we know this administration will do things like that. They don't care if the people are innocent. They will go after them. So I'm more concerned about that than anything else here that is an error that's been fixed. It's just the horrible way that individuals are treated. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, the collateral consequences of this are something I didn't consider for these non-citizens, and it is absolutely true, especially if they are facing some kind of federal charge for voter fraud. What Gila and I were both banging on about before is this issue of intent, and under federal law, you can't have any kind of punishment for somebody who... knowingly votes, I'm sorry, you would actually have to have somebody who knowingly votes when they know they are not eligible. That's the kind of, it's kind of like a double knowledge requirement there. So you have to know you're not eligible and knowingly vote at that time. Right? That's the only way that you could satisfy the criminal elements of a particular charge for voting in that manner. So you would have to have the intentionality there. But to be honest with you, that doesn't matter. Whether or not somebody is convicted of a particular crime doesn't matter. If you're charged with a crime, if you are an immigrant, non-citizen, even if you have an asylum claim pending, and you are simply charged with a crime, it could be disorderly conduct, it could be shoplifting, could be any number of things, that usually is necessary and sufficient condition for an immigration judge to deny you bond if ICE picks you up, because you might be considered to be a danger to the community or a flight risk to the community. In fact, the latest case that we were talking about last week that I won, my sixth petition for writ of habeas corpus on behalf of an ICE detainee, this was a person who was detained for almost 3 months, 2.5 months, for a bogus shoplifting charge. It was basically a petty larceny charge, and it wasn't a conviction. It wasn't anything proven. In fact, it was trying to be plea bargained down, but because of something called the Lake and Riley Act, and we all know the tragedy that happened with Lake and Riley, and not making light of that, but the act that followed this to try to protect people from violent non-citizens roaming around our streets basically made it a predicate to be charged with any of these enumerated offenses. Was a predicate that was sufficient enough for somebody to just be held in ICE detention. And so this is, I think, a really dangerous position for a lot of these non-citizens to find themselves in, and really sad that it's done by no fault of their own. If somebody knew that they weren't supposed to vote and they voted, that's still against the law. We're talking about what I would presume is the vast majority of situations for these 400 people are that they were encouraged to vote and they went out and voted because they probably felt like it was their civic duty, being reminded over and over and over again by massive amounts of campaign advertisements. So if there's collateral consequences here, I'll be the first one to jump up and try to help them out of this mess.
Yeah, the other thing that kind of gets me here is the assumption that this kind of mistake only benefits one side. It could benefit anyone if people vote and they aren't entitled to vote. You don't know who they're going to vote for. Are people that aren't legally permitted to vote all Democrats? Is that the view here? Apparently it is, because that's how they keep pushing things like the Save America Act, which, by the way, is one of the greatest threats to democracy that I could imagine. It basically takes the control of elections out of the hands of local authorities and puts it in the hands of federal authorities. Your driver's license will not be enough to prove who you are. You'll need to get access to birth certificates and all kinds of documents that a lot of people don't have access to. And all this information is going to be kept in centralized databases like they have never been done before. It's truly a scary thing, and they are using fear to try and get people to support this. And we've seen so many congressmen basically pushing lies and stoking fear to get people to back this, which would be an incredibly bad idea, bad for democracy, bad for all of us. Go ahead, Rob.
And it's worth noting that in this particular case, these roughly 400 non-citizens who were miscategorized as having the right to vote, if all of them voted in the election, this is pointed out in this article in the Times, if all of them had voted, they would constitute just 0.02% of the electorate. They would not have swayed any of the elections in 2024 when Harris actually, in the presidential election, won New Jersey by more than 252,000 votes. So even if all of these people voted, and there's no indication that they did, even if they all voted on the same side, which there's no indication that they did, it would not have changed anything substantial in terms of the election itself. So this is a rounding error, basically, mathematically speaking. So there is no actual threat to the end result of the election in this case.
Yeah, there's no question it shouldn't have happened, but it was caught and it was revealed and it's being dealt with. And that's something that we should be praising, not using as evidence to make things even worse. Alex?
Well, on that very note, right, we're talking about the legal exposure, jeopardy these people could be facing of these 400 people who actually did the right thing, right? And I think that would certainly counsel me if I was a prosecutor thinking about bringing a charge, saying, well, did this person do the right thing? I mean, they answered no, they were not a citizen, and then accidentally registered to vote by somebody else, right? It's like, so it's a terrible thing, but what about the other side of this, right? Why are we not talking about any kind of legal exposure for people who knowingly withheld this information or the people who negligently created these systems? I mean, I think those are the ones that should really be concerned about the maximum amount of liability here. And I'm talking really about civil liability here because, as Rob noted, this was de minimis. And there is this old expression in the law. It's Latin, of course. De minimis non curat lex, right? The law doesn't care about trifles. And to me, this is certainly a trifle, but it exposes some really bad systems. And I think you're right. It is a rare thing when you write twice in a row in like 5 minutes, Emmanuel. It's amazing to me. But that's what we should be applauding here.
Talking of liability, too, Edemia, looking at their own Wikipedia article, there's a lot to learn here. They're a French company, and they have fingers and pies all over the world, and they are no strangers to being liable for things. There is an extensive controversies section on this article with headings like sharing sensitive biometric data, bribery in Nigeria, hiding Russian government-affiliated code from the FBI in a product that they used in fingerprint analysis software, contained code written by a Russian government-affiliated firm, and they hid that fact from the FBI, contributions to state repression in Egypt, all sorts of other things in addition to this thing in Jersey. So they are no strangers to basically being called out on stuff, but, you know, will they be held liable for this error in any substantial way remains to be seen.
Human error always conquers all. And I think that's just another indication of why we need to be checking things and never believe anything that you're told. Now, on that note, Trump's Mad King speech was last Thursday. You guys catch this? I mean, you know, a lot of networks didn't cover it. And I think that was kind of a mistake because, you know, if you have King Lear, falling apart, The people should know. The people should see it. The people should witness it and plan accordingly. You know, not just ignore it and pretend everything's okay, because that's kind of playing into it. What he says is going to affect us, and what he said on Thursday certainly is going to affect us. This is where he basically laid it out for us as far as how elections are going to be run in the immediate future, if he has any say over it, claiming that basically everything is vulnerable to being hacked, and this is where we come in, obviously. Now, I should point out there's no evidence that foreign or domestic hackers have ever exploited electronic voting machines to change votes or impact the outcome of an election. Now, investigators did find that Russian hackers successfully accessed the voter registration databases of a few U.S. states ahead of the 2016 elections, but they never changed any votes. And to date, that's the most intensive hacking effort documented by federal authorities involving U.S. elections. The way Trump is playing it, it's basically it's a free-for-all, and everybody, especially Democrats, are out there hacking voting machines and stealing votes, basically just spreading lies. I think at one point he said that there was a machine where you pressed a button for Trump and it came out Biden. You know, just making it up. So many instances like that, but people believe it, and Fox News parrots it. It's scary because we're facing an election in a few months that is going to change the direction of the country. And these guys know they're going to lose. They're going to lose badly unless they do something dramatic. And that is what we are seeing. I don't want to say in its infancy because it's well developed. We're going to see a lot more speeches like last Thursday's. We're going to see a lot more scare tactics. And I hope we're prepared for this.
Well, the important thing is to have a ground game and to respond to it so that you're identifying these things immediately and countering it with the appropriate correct information and awareness about the tools and the types of tactics that are being used. But it's absolutely the way that the machine of our democracy renews and replaces some of these problems, shall we say. And if we don't get to do that, then we are in even worse trouble than we are, looking at that election as a possible moment to register and figure out what people are for and what they are not with about this whole thing.
Whoever is typing, please stop, because it's very loud. So did you all see the documents that were released last Thursday? Because they're quite interesting. Any of us look at them? Guys, you got to take an interest in it. I mean, we're, you know, at the forefront here. It's
I look at a lot of documents, but what documents?
Are documents released by the White House saying that they prove that the elections are being compromised, that hackers are running amok. You know, it's kind of up our alley. But according to this political article, documents released by the White House this Thursday did not back up Trump's claims of widespread exploitation of electronic voting machines. One 2020 report from the National Intelligence Council detailed concerns that foreign hackers might seek to compromise U.S. election infrastructure, but did not conclude this occurred. Just expressed concern that this could happen. But, no actual evidence. Scott Alger, executive director of the Information Technology Information Sharing and Analysis Center, said, "I'm not aware of an incident in which a vote has been changed through a hack. There's lots of opportunity for that to happen because we have lots of elections, and I think the fact that it hasn't happened is an indication of how secure the overall election process is." But that, of course, was not mentioned in the speech or in the remarks by the White House afterwards. Go ahead, Gila.
So, Emmanuel, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So this is a great big lie. This is a big fat lie. And there are no documents to back up the big fat lie.
Well, there's basically, yes. You have the gist of it.
Okay, just making sure. I just, you know, kind of trying to just, I mean, are we supposed to be surprised that there are no documents that support the big fat lie?
You're still supposed to be scared. I fear that you're not being scared enough.
You're probably right. But, no, I mean, obviously the documents didn't support it because it's a big fat lie.
Well, I think we've made the point. I do. Yes, go ahead, Alex.
You know, this is, I feel like, exactly the same conversation we were having exactly 10 years ago and talking about the election, right? And you also bring up this point, Emmanuel, that, yes, the voter rolls, you know, this is being accessed by a Russian threat actor, ostensibly by the GRU, as I believe it is supposed to be. That seems to be the most serious incident to date of anything that's actually been reported here. And if that were to happen back in 2016, who do you think the Russians would have favored at that particular moment, number one? But I think that we have evolved as a nation in many ways with respect to our voting systems. This is something that our dear friend of our show, Matt Blaze, does a tremendous amount of research on down at Georgetown. But, you know, the security of election systems, the fact that they are so many disparate systems that run independently across the country, that's something, I do hate this phrase, but I will use it, you know, that's kind of a feature, not a bug, right? You know, the fact that they are all disconnected and different makes it difficult for any one threat actor to infiltrate the entire nation's voting systems. But even if they did, what we've moved on to over the last 10 years, because of, in large part, I think, the cries of the hacker and the cybersecurity community about vulnerabilities inherent to direct recording electronic voting, which means votes that are cast purely electronically on a ballot without any kind of paper trail associated with a vote. We've moved away from that. I don't know if there are any jurisdictions where that still exists just by itself. I imagine probably a few. It's got to be extraordinarily rare, though, at this point. And every time you go and vote, You fill out something on a piece of paper. That piece of paper is then scanned. The results are then transcribed into some kind of database of votes, right, and a tally. And so this voter-verified paper ballot or this paper record, it's a very interesting, you know, aspect of election security, right, because it doesn't make elections unbreachable or unhackable in some sense. It just makes sure that if you are going to tamper with an election in some way, that there's evidence of it and you can track and trace it and you can audit that type of thing when it happens. So I think Trump is totally wrong and way behind the times here. I know that's shocking to a lot of people.
All right, let's move on. Rob, you posted this story, maybe we can talk about it a little bit, about LG. The home appliance giant LG Electronics USA said this week it plans to suspend any apps built for its smart TVs that turn one's television into an always-on residential proxy node. The move comes less than a month after researchers found more than 42% of games and other apps available for download on LG's webOS store allow unknown third parties to route their internet traffic through a user's TV. Okay, these are some things I'm not really familiar with. Can you describe this universe that we're looking upon right now?
Sure thing. So LG has their app store for apps you can download and install on your television, because televisions are computers now, and this is the world we live in. And apparently, so many of the apps in this app store were basically, in addition to whatever it was they were supposed to be doing, were also using the user's television as a proxy. So they could sell access to your television, to your television's connection, to whatever else is going on it, to various third parties, with or without your knowledge. Some of these apps would have little screens that gave you choices. There is, and this is heartbreaking to me, there was a Pac-Man app for LG TV, and I love Pac-Man. Who doesn't love Pac-Man? But it gave you a choice to either play the game by watching ads, which is gross, or decline and instead give the app company permission to use your TV as a residential proxy node. This is insane that so much of the base of applications on this app store were basically using your TV as a jumping off point to do God knows what with your connection with that computer that's shaped like a television on your shelf. And the end result of this is that people have been complaining about this, and LG is finally realizing that they run an app store and they should perhaps maybe have some kind of overseeing of the security and the abuse of such things on it. So they're removing a bunch of apps.
So, you know, it wasn't until this moment that I realized this is good news.
It is good news that it's being addressed. It is horrid news that this was going on, but it's the technological environment we're living in now. It's stupid as hell, and I can't believe this is a thing. But at the same time, I totally can believe that this is something that unscrupulous companies would be taking advantage of. I just can't believe they're using my boy Pac-Man to do it.
Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, this is a really crazy story. And I think Rob hit it right on the head too. You know, in that the real outrage here is that this has been happening for so long. But you know, think about this, right? This is basically other people using your IP address and your home network through your television to do God knows what. This could have been really, really bad. And maybe, who knows? Maybe this has been really, really bad for some people. Because what if that connection? What if the proxy relay that your television was used for was to distribute child pornography or child sexual abuse material.
Why is it always child pornography? Why is that always?
I'll tell you why. Because it's a strict liability offense, and if you're transiting in child pornography, or if it goes across your network in that particular situation, I mean, I wonder if there are people who have been criminally prosecuted for the possession of CSAM materials or child pornography when it was simply being relayed across their network. And let's also not forget that, you know, this is a great reason to enforce something called device isolation on your router, which means that certain devices shouldn't be able to see or talk to other devices on the network when usually, you know, we think, oh, it's a good thing for devices to talk together, because your television is sitting there basically smack in the middle of your network. You want everything to be able to see it because you might want to stream things to it, right? So it's not isolated from the rest of the house. It could be a foothold near your router. You could perhaps access printers through that. You could perhaps access network attached storage, individual machines that might have SSH enabled in them as well. So, you know, untold amounts of craziness could have happened through the malicious use of these, what I think are, and Rob, am I right in thinking it's like a web OS type of app store? Is that what this ridiculous thing was?
I don't know the exact OS these things are using, but I can't imagine it's very different from a web OS store or even the Android store or iTunes store or whatever they're calling it now. It's just, you know, it's a closed app store. You can download sort of a selection of apps that are put there with the tacit approval of the company running the thing. And there is some responsibility in running something like that you're not going to be feeding your customers crap on this level. So, yeah, and this article, which was on Krebs on Security, and I want to shout them out for putting this out there, it really opens people's eyes to a fact that any hacker will tell you, which is that once you're in a network by any means, it's pretty easy to, you know, getting in is the hard part. It's pretty easy once you're in there to do whatever you want with anything connected to it, you know, more or less. So this is not only, you know, they're abusing my television. This is, you're letting people into what might potentially be every aspect of everything that's on your home network and every aspect of your digital life.
Wasn't there another company several years back that just offered your router, your bandwidth to anybody passing by in the street, and they treated it like it was the most normal thing in the world? I don't remember who that was, but it was it might have been a cable provider, it might have been some other merchant or something that had a lot of access to customers. Anybody remember that?
I'm looking.
I do remember this. I think it might have been Spectrum doing that. Where your router would also be part of Spectrum's own network to give to their customers. I don't know for certain that it was Spectrum, but it was either them or some provider on the scale of them. Uh-huh. And it's It's amazing to think about it.
I like the assumptions they make that, oh, yeah, people will be good with this. No, no problem at all. When's the last time they hung out with people? What in God's name is going on out there?
Alex, that's from your wherever you are. There was some sort of motory noise.
I was afraid that was the music.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay, you have to explain that. That wasn't the dog. What was that? Sounded like a spaceship.
That was some kind of car that needed a new muffler, I think. It sounded like it was very far away. I don't really understand that.
No, it didn't. It sounded pretty damn close.
These are just good mics. I apologize.
Are you in Pennsylvania?
I am in Pennsylvania.
Okay,
that explains that. This is
right.
Why. Yep, you got it. Yep.
Okay. Hey, listen, before we run out of time, I just wanted to remind people WBAI is in the middle of a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And if you want to keep discussions like this coming, or maybe the discussions that come after this one is over and you say good riddance, please support WBAI. We've been on the air since 1960. And have yet to air a commercial because we don't believe in them. We don't need them. We don't want them. We need investors in the form of listeners. And that's what we have had ever since 1960. And we have been able to stay on the air in the middle of New York City for all that time and build up an incredibly devoted following and all kinds of archives and history and memories that WBAI is unique with. If you look at any other radio station in New York City, you will find that WBAI is if not the oldest, one of the oldest by far, as far as keeping the same basic format, which is a free-form format, meaning we have many formats. We have music, we have talk, we have news, all sorts of different things throughout the course of a day. And we need your help to keep that going because we have to pay the bills somehow, and we're not getting money through commercials. And this current federal government sure isn't helping at all. So please go to WBAI.org or give to WBAI.org. There's a number of websites. Does anybody have the full listing or numbers or anything else you could share?
Yep. We've got the phone number for pledging to the station. That's 833-922-4692. That also spells 833-WBAI-NYC, which is very handy. Or you could go to buddy.wbai.org to give a one-time donation or become a sustaining BAI Buddy member, which is something that helps us so very much, where you agree to automatically give a certain amount, an amount of your choosing on a regular basis. So that's buddy.wbai.org or 833-WBAI-NYC.
And regardless of whether you call or whether you go online or, I don't know, you put some cash in an envelope and mail it to the station, do let them know that you are supporting Off the Hook because they like to know that you like us. So tell them we sent you.
Yes, please. Support WBAI. Keep us going. Keep 99.5 FM commercial free. And alternative and interesting, because so much on the radio isn't interesting anymore. It's predictable. It's pre-programmed. It's computerized. It's boring. Just boring. Okay, so we only have a couple of minutes left. All right, what story shall we get to really quickly? Well, here's an interesting headline. Hackers are stealing data they can't even read yet because they're banking on quantum computers to crack it later. You know, that's smart. That is smart. You might not be able to decrypt everything, but just grab it all, and one day maybe your grandchildren will be able to decrypt it, and then we can find out just what it was that was out there. There's a debate about when quantum computing will be able to crack the standard forms of encryption that protect everything from Bitcoin to your bank account. Some people think it's only a couple of years away. Others, notably the researchers at ARK Invest, say it won't arrive until 2044 at the earliest. That's not what they told us way back at the beginning. They said it won't be for, you know, hundreds of centuries at the very least. Anyway, hackers are not waiting for either of those dates. Instead, they're downloading whatever databases they can get their hands on, even if they cannot open them, and saving them for when commercial quantum computing makes it possible to decode the continents. You know what else? Doing that allows you to be backing up these databases in encrypted form, obviously, but, you know, it's a valuable service for the inevitable day that one of these companies just loses everything and doesn't have any backups. Well, here you are. You've got everything on your local computer system. Go ahead, Alex.
I think this is something we should talk further about on overtime, because it deserves a lot of consideration. But think about this. This is the terrifying aspect of this kind of store now, decrypt later type of attack. Most of the laws across this entire country with respect to data breaches, and most laws across the world, really, only require you to report a data breach if the data is actually breached. There is an assumption built into the laws that you don't have to report a breach if the data that was stolen was encrypted. So if the threat actors have been storing all of this data that has been stolen, and all of these companies have not reported it because there was no obligation to report it to attorneys generals, information commissioners, etc., all of that data that belongs to all of these companies about these individuals, about trade secrets, about intellectual property, things under development, financial forecasting, all these types of, all this proprietary information, if quantum computing becomes available, well, that would be like a very simple can opener to pry open all of that data that's just been sitting there. And if that happens, things are going to get messy.
So you're saying that if there is an encrypted database out there, and somebody accesses it, downloads it, whatever, that does not have to be revealed because they haven't actually accessed the data. They simply copied the meaningless gibberish that... Wow. So if you have an encrypted file out there somewhere being stored by a company, you can assume it's been compromised. And nobody's going to tell you about it. Wow. That's scary. That's scary. But also kind of funny. Hey, before we leave, we're heading to overtime now. As you mentioned, that is on YouTube, channel 2600. You can call us there. You can basically interact in various ways, or just hear our voices for a little bit longer. We had a letter. The overtime on July 15th was exceptionally positive and enjoyable. Every caller, except one, seemed to be in a good mood, and the discussion was fun to listen to. It's nice to hear some happy chatter for a change, even though serious subjects are important. Signed, Lob. Well, Lob, thank you very much for that nice letter, and it's very true. We do need to talk about the serious issues, but also have fun at the same time. Let's not forget that. So join us on Overtime, or write to us, oth@2600.com. And don't forget to join us next week, 7 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And in the meantime, please, won't you support WBAI? Give to WBAI.org. And what's that 833 number once more? Guys?
We're looking.
That is 833-WBAI-NYC. That is 833-922-4692.
Okay. We'll see you next time. Good night.